Good morning and welcome to Frankly Speaking. Today we're going to discuss Going to College, a lesson in high finance. I'm Joan Ziemba for George Mason University. Since the Reagan administration has taken office, there's been a steady decline in student funding. Basic education grants have been cut 30%, and the president is proposing even further cuts. Campus-based programs, college work-study programs, direct student loans have been cut 20%, and more cuts are anticipated. The liberal aid to education programs of the 60s and 70s are rapidly becoming a benefit of the past, and the greatest impact will be felt in Northern Virginia, where hundreds of middle-class families will be caught in the cutbacks. With us today to discuss some of the problems and possible alternatives to financial aid is Rita Bodie, Director of Student Aid at George Mason University. Rita, February 1 to 7 is Financial Aid Awareness Week. With all the cuts in funding, is there any financial aid for students to be aware of?
Well, actually, one of the reasons why we established Financial Aid Awareness Week was to encourage students to begin their applications for aid early on, get their applications complete. And yes, there is a little bit of aid left. There will be some aid left, and that's why we're urging students to get their applications in and completed as early as possible. If they don't get in the front of the line, they may wind up without anything due to the lack of funds that are due to cuts. We'll have a lot less available is what I'm trying to say.
Do students normally apply in their junior or senior year in high school?
No. A student would not apply, a prospective student would not apply until he or she is a senior. You don't apply for financial aid until, and also until you've zeroed in on one of the two of schools that you plan to attend. So that students in the fall are looking at admissions, they talk to admissions counselors, go to high school fairs and whatever, and we would hope that by now they would have zeroed in on the schools that they would like to be accepted to. They've made their application for admission because you very likely will not be offered financial aid unless you've been accepted to the college or university. However, you should not wait until you've been accepted before you begin the financial aid process.
Is that information for the most part available at local high schools? Counseling offices?
Yes, the high school counselors are extremely helpful in this financial aid process. We had a series of workshops this last fall for counselors, so that in most high schools there is at least one counselor whose responsibility is the financial aid area. In addition, the students can look in the material that they've received from the schools that they've been talking to. A financial aid brochure, for example, is extremely helpful. The brochure will explain the application process, what is required, does the school require a separate application over and above the financial aid form. We do, for example, at Mason, mm-hmm. ask for a GMU application. The deadline date will be listed in both the catalog, school catalog, and the financial aid brochure. And they will also describe the various programs that are available at the school, college, or university.
I'd imagine there's a great deal of concern among parents concerning some of these cuts. How will these cuts affect students and their families? What are the consequences in real terms?
Well, for example, with the Guaranteed Student Loan Program, prior to October 1 of this year, the Guaranteed Student Loan Program was open to everyone without regard to need, so that a student could borrow up to $2,500 and not have to make any repayment on the loan until after he or she graduated. And then when they began to repay, it was 9% interest. Well, effective October 1, only families with adjusted incomes of $30,000 or below can automatically borrow through the Guaranteed Student Loan Program. Mm-hmm. Well, those with incomes above that would have to meet a needs test. Now, that program has been very popular with the families in Northern Virginia, most of whom are middle-income families. And while many of them say, it looks like, you know, my salary is very good, but the cost of living in Northern Virginia is extremely high, and it is difficult for us to find enough money to meet these college expenses, mm-hmm. and the Guaranteed Student Loan Program was a big help, and so that has been cut. Then the big grant program, federal grant program, the Basic Educational Opportunity Grant, which has been renamed for Senator Pell, the Pell Grant Program. In 1978, it was changed so that many middle-income families qualified for grants under the Basic Grant Pell Program. With the changes that the administration is requesting, those families will be eliminated, so that they're only the very, very low-income families, it looks like, will qualify for basic grants. And
what about the campus-based programs?
Campus-based programs, those are the three programs that supplement the basic grant program, mm-hmm. because that was not designed to meet the full cost of education. There is more money that most students who qualify for basic grant would qualify, or Pell Grant, would qualify for other kinds of aid. So the campus-based, the three federal programs, is this grant program, a loan program, and a work program, were used as to supplement the basic grant, kind of as part of the financial aid package. The administration is proposing for next year about 40% cut in those funds, and then for the following year they're proposing to eliminate the grant program entirely and the National Direct Student Loan Program, which is the lowest interest rate student loan program, eliminate that entirely and reduce the expenditures in the College Work Study Program, so that it will really severely impact the students who need money in order to attend college.
Do you have any idea in figures and numbers how many students will be affected just here at GMU?
Well, from a brief overview of our students and applying some of these cuts that are proposed, I would say at least 1,000 students.
And their families.
And their families. And their families, yes.
What other resources are available to some of these students now that education is probably costing more than it ever has before and the federal government is supplementing less? Where can students turn now for financial aid?
Well, of course, they can look to some of the outside resources in the community. For those students who are in high school and planning to attend college in the fall, they should really get in touch with their counselors. The counselors get information about a lot of local community scholarships. And in fact, a couple of counselors told me last year that all of those scholarships did not get pursued by students. Some of them went begging because the students simply didn't follow up on them. If the students are considering a professional career, they might want to get in touch with a professional association. And living in Washington, most professional associations have an office right here, so for the cost of a local telephone call, they can call up and find out whether or not they have any scholarships or grants available. The community newspapers are a good source of possible scholarships. They'll be announced in the women's page or something, mm-hmm. that the women's club is offering a scholarship. There are also books in the high school libraries and the public library, and we have some that list various grants and scholarships that are available to students. There are also a couple of scholarship search agencies or services.
National?
Yeah. And they charge, so that before a student or parent would spend a lot of money to find out that they're eligible to receive $100, they would need to be careful about getting some information about the track record of those scholarship searches. Mm-hmm. I think that they're probably a lot more helpful than they were when they first began, because they're getting a lot more sophisticated with computers.
Right.
So that they send you a...
Well, they investigate scholarships in areas of unions and religious
right.
affiliations. And
right. Well, that's another area
groups.
that parents and students can check with, too. That's a good point. They could check with their unions, places of employment, religious, the Knights of Columbus, Qantas, mm-hmm. those kinds of groups. And very often they do sponsor scholarships.
What about the returning or reentry student? And generally in the last 5 years to 10 years, it's been a returning female as a student who's maybe in her late 20s, early 30s or 40s, coming back to school. She may or may not have children, and seeking scholarship aid. Are there special age categories for scholarships as well?
There are, actually. The one that comes to mind immediately is Clairol.
Clairol
has a scholarship for women, reentry women particularly, and they have to be 30 or above. There are others that are particularly designed for reentry people, and in a couple of cases we've had calls from local community groups that were interested in donating scholarships, and they particularly mentioned a woman who is coming back trying to get her education.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of single women with children in Northern Virginia who kind of left high and dry one way or another, and agree that they need to get an education in order to get a better paying job, so that they need as much help as they can. In addition, of course, they're also eligible to apply for the federal and state aid that we have available. One disadvantage we have here at George Mason is because we are so new, we don't have a well-established alumni association. Our alumni are relatively young. So by well-established, I mean people who have
gained a lot. Well, this year is the university's 10th anniversary,
right.
So our alumni is within that same age.
Right. So they're not likely to be millionaires who are going to give us a lot of money for scholarships. So we don't have a pool of discretionary money here at Mason. Unlike a private school, for instance, most private schools have their own resources available, either through giving or whatever, or their own.
Yeah, I believe at this point, through our development office, that GMU has somewhere between 8 and 13 private scholarships that are available to students, but that is
it's
a minimal amount.
Really minimal amount, really nothing in the way of a large block of discretionary money that we could use to help students that are cut out of the federal and state programs.
How will these cuts affect universities in terms of university applications? Can we look forward to seeing a diminishing student body at this point?
It's kind of hard to tell because there would be we may have some students applying to us who would have otherwise gone to a private institution had they had had the cuts not taken place. We'll have other students who will not be, maybe will go to Northern Virginia Community College because they couldn't afford to come to us. And then there will be some students who just won't come to school at all mm-hmm. because of the cuts. And so it's a little hard to put your finger on it right away, but there's no doubt it's going to have an impact. I mean, college costs, as you said earlier, are going up. They're not coming down. And with these cuts, it's going to be really difficult for students to be able to pursue college education. I think it's extremely unfortunate because development of human resources, or your human resources, is the most valuable asset a country can have. And we're not investing in that human resource now. We're cutting back on that investment.
Is there any hope that this may turn around, that the cuts may not be as severe as they look like they might be now, or that things may turn around in the future?
Well, there is a possibility, and that could come if students and parents were to express their concerns to their members of Congress. I think that's the only way that you could communicate your concern.
Mm-hmm.
If you are concerned about what is happening, or you do think that it's going to have a real impact on you or your family, mm-hmm. then the people that need to know are the people that would have to enact the cuts, which are the members of Congress. They, just coming back from a recess now, and they can pass a continuing resolution. You probably remember there's a lot of controversy, mm-hmm. and so the whole government is running now on this continuing resolution that will run through March 31st. Now, we expect that the administration will come in when Congress gets back and gets down to business and say, we would like you to cut the appropriations that you approved back in December even further, so that we're looking for, before March 31st, further reduced spending authorizations in the student aid programs, so that for 82-83 we'll have a lot less than we thought we'd have. So it's a very trying time.
Well, Rita, I'm sure your activities will make more students and their families aware of financial aid programs available to them. I'd like to thank Rita Bode, Director of Student Aid at GMU, for her advice on student financial aid programs. For information about our guest or this program, please call area code 703-323-2138. You've been listening to Frankly Speaking, a public service program produced by George Mason University, production coordinator Pat Ping. I'm Joan Ziemba for the State University in Northern Virginia. Thank you for listening.